Good to see the sun shining, though. All righty. We are going to start off. Our brother Jake's going to read Revelation 19, 11 through 16.
Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule with him, a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Having a meeting about the announcement. Just one moment.
Good morning, church. How are you? The sun is out. It looks like the ice is melting. So things are being positive. These are the announcements for February 5th. February! Alright, join us Tuesday, February 7th on an evening of prayer and fasting. So fast the whole day. So even if you can't make it on the night, if you want fast, or join us, encourage. We'll be fasting through the day and breaking the fast after prayer. Children will be going to the Art Museum this Saturday. See the children's director, Jessica, she's over there, for information if you want to volunteer or if you want to bring your child. VBS meeting will be on Saturday, February 19th. Once again, see Jessica. If you've been wondering, how do I give? I really want to give, and I just don't know how. We have QR codes above the offering boxes. All the offering boxes have QR codes. Take a little picture on the QR codes and send you a link. Give online. You can give in the box. There's several ways. Both offerings for Love Lock and Cold Spring. So if you want to give the Love Lock and you're wondering how to do that, it's in the little link. There's a drop down. If it's local tithe, then it drops down and should be there. Giving statements are available online for Pushpay as well as through Rebecca. So see Rebecca if online thing, but she has a couple of them, and let her know if you have any kind of issues with the statement. The next New Believers class is starting. Sign up, it will be posted this week, and it will be on the bulletin board. So see the bulletin board, and you'll see the sign up for this, the next call. And then Tuesday, February 7th, we're going to be doing the prayers and fasting. So if you can make it on Tuesday night, please make arrangements to be here and fast throughout that day. Well, let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We come to you humbly with our prayers and our asking you for our strength. We know that you will provide all for us, Lord. We can turn to you at any moment, any time, that we can turn to you and feel your strength and feel your power. Please eliminate us from worry and doubt. Help us to look to you and be strengthened by you, Lord. And Lord, thank you so much for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Every hour, your spirit guides me to the heart of God.
set us free. Set us free.
Set us free.
Set us free. Set us free,
set us free,
set us free, Lord, set us free,
set us free,
Jesus, set us all free.
Amen.
I'm set free.
One big hallelujah together.
Hallelujah! Therefore, God has highly exalted him and has given him the name over every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. 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 All right. You may be seated. And children, you are dismissed.
Well, good morning. I better be careful so that I don't kick this, huh? Yeah, I better be careful. Good morning. Hey, how about that name of Jesus? It's fine. All right. Hey, we have a short video. Did those kids bring some sheets to you and ask you to be praying for some missionaries, ask you to pray for some names of some missionaries? So they brought those sheets because this is Mission Emphasis Week and praying for missionaries and things like that. And so they just gave you, there's just, I think, about six names or six families that were on those sheets to be praying for. There's tons of missionaries you can be praying for, but today is a special day as we... just God has a way of lining some stuff up, you know. I know a lot of you think I like to just preach and preach a long time. So, like, it took this long to get Romans 15:30-33 so that we could be on prayer. I didn't work that out. I mean, come on, don't give me that much credit. But we landed on this section. This mission emphasis we've been for these past few weeks, I think about 6 weeks or 7 weeks. I can't recollect, but we're ending on missions and specifically on missions. But about prayer. And so today we're going to have a heavy prayer emphasis. We're going to be talking about prayer. Don't expect me to give you a sermon on everything about prayer. I could never do that in one sermon, even if we were to stay here all day. And so we're just going to hit some points based out of the scripture that we're going to be in today, Romans 15, verses 30-33. But before we get there... I didn't print out a bunch of word searches. I have a word search that goes along with this. So if you want a word search later, go ahead and ask me. I'll give you the word search. I did it, so it's manageable. But we have this video about a missionary, George Lyle. It's about 2.5 minutes. And so we got that video. Is it working okay? Yeah, all right. All right, so let's watch that video, and then we'll get started.
Probably been voted most likely to fail.
George Lyle, his name was new to us until the beginning of this year. In a way, it feels like he's a forgotten missionary.
I can tell you before, about 9 months ago, I don't know if I'd even heard the name George Lyle. He is the first American missionary sent out. Many people think of William Carey, many people think of Adoniram Judson, but about 30 years before, Judson, about 10 years before William Carey, there was a man named George Lyle, went to Jamaica and shared the good news of Jesus Christ with those that were lost.
Born as a slave in Virginia.
Left Virginia, went to Georgia, and from Georgia became an indentured slave and started churches in Jamaica and other parts of the world.
It amazed me to see the amount of people who came to know the Lord in Jamaica through his work.
He becomes free and have a passion and faithfulness to preach the gospel. When he got saved, it is recorded that George Lyle asked God, give me a work, no matter how mean or difficult it would be. But he risked his life at preaching the gospel. Oh man, if they don't put the wind in the step, I don't know what will.
When we look at someone like George, George gives us more strength to continue. Because if he could do what God called him to do in the midst of the time that he lived, I mean, what in the world? What am I complaining about?
That faithfulness tells me, Eric Reese, in São Paulo, Brazil, you have the ability to keep going despite the difficulty that comes in our path. Because he had all the reason in the world to say, that's enough. And yet he said, it's not about him, it's about God. And I believe George believed and knew that wherever he was, God was there with him, and he could remain faithful because he wasn't serving man, he was serving God.
That, it kind of takes away any excuse you can think of, amen? I mean, I don't know if you face any adversity in your life, but that's a lot of adversity to face and to work to earn your freedom so that you can go and preach the gospel, right? Whew, man, that puts a fire in our step. Should, just like he said, should put a fire in your step. But George Lyle, the first American missionary, had anybody heard of George Lyle before? Anybody? Anybody ever heard of William Perry, though?
Yeah.
Adoniram Judson?
Yeah, of course.
Of course we've heard them, right? We've heard about them. There's so many missionaries that you don't even hear about. We have missionaries by the dozens, by the hundreds, by the thousands. So just be praying for missionaries because they need it. Today we're going to be talking about prayer. We're going to be in this section where one of the great missionaries, that Christ has empowered asks for prayer. So we're going to be in that today. Romans 15, we're going to be in verses 30 through 33. So today is about on mission, about prayers, and then we're going to get to some things. But here's Romans 15, Romans chapter 15 at a glance. this is what Paul's been telling us to do in Romans 15. He tells us to use our strength to serve others, to proclaim the gospel, to do this all in the power of God alone, to plan to go where God sends you, and last but certainly not least, to pray. That's what he's calling us to. He's calling us to pray. So this is chapter 15 at a glance. And so we're going to read verses 30 through 33 to the end of the chapter here, if you'll stand as we read these few verses. If you there, say amen. If you need a second, say amen. Okay, this one of you needs a second. If you just like saying amen, say amen. I love hearing the church say amen and hallelujah, so I just, kind of, that was a little selfish. Thank you. All right, verse 30. Now I implore you, brothers, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, to agonize together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, and that, by God's will, I may come to you with joy and be refreshed together with you. The God of peace be with all of you. Amen. Father, as we come today, Lord, we just ask. Lord, I don't just simply ask that you would give you lip service. And that's not a pun on prayer, but Lord, I pray and I ask that you would put a seriousness in us today. Lord, we all know that we need to pray more. We none of us would dare say that we've prayed all that we could pray. And so, Father, I just ask that you would give us a desire, that, Lord, you would change us, that you would move us today to understand what it means to pray and just what's available to us. And so, Father, help us to seek you and just change us today for your glory and your glory alone. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Last night, so Lovelock, just a quick update on Lovelock. We went to Lovelock last night, and we had more people from Lovelock than we took up to serve again, so it was awesome. We had 17 there from Lovelock, which was great. We had a good time. God's words got preached. We got to worship through song. We got to fellowship together. It was a wonderful time. But on our way home from Lovelock, we stopped to eat at a restaurant, and the restaurant was inside a casino or part of whatever, it's Nevada. And so Jasmine and Brooklyn were going to the bathroom, and so Hudson and I were waiting because we finished eating. We were, you know, in that whole area, and there's these machines right there. And so we're sitting there waiting, and I noticed that right here, right next to me, you know, you can see it, but they got this thing, so you can see part of it. I see this guy playing the Megabucks machine, right? So the Megabucks, there's two Megabucks machines right here. And it's almost $14 million, right? So it's almost $14 million. It's 13 and it's up and it's making noise. And then this guy's just cranking away on this machine, right? And so the first thing I'm thinking, here's the thing. Like, just, I'm thinking, man, $14 million. We could pay off the church. We could buy the next piece of property. Right? We could take care of everything in Lovelock. We could, right? I'm just, seriously, I'm thinking all these things. Don't laugh, you're thinking them too, okay? No, there was no Corvette or anything like that in there yet, okay? It was all godly stuff at the beginning. And so I'm sitting there, and I was like, well, wait a second. What would the papers read? Okay? Pastor, Cold Springs Valley Church wins Megabucks, right? But here's the thing, like that would be questionable. Like there's a chance that there would be a damaging testimony because I would bet a good chunk of money that they wouldn't, a good chunk of the Megabucks money that they wouldn't produce the next article that said, and $14 million was used to strengthen this church and build this church and do this and do this, right? And so this is my thought process, right? This is what I'm thinking. Right? And so the whole time, this is what I'm thinking. And then I see the guy, right? I don't see his face, I just see the back of his head because he is so focused on this machine. He's so focused on what's going on. And then I'm thinking, the way this guy is like smashing his butt, just cranking away on this machine, you got to put $3 to the pop, right? To win. Or that's where it used to be. I don't know if it's still the same. I don't imagine it got any cheaper. So the max bet is at least $3. And so if you're just cranking on this button or just pulling this handle like a madman, it's $3 every time, $3 every time, $3 every time, $3 every time. So in this time, he's pulled on this thing 15, 20 times. And so I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, man, there's 45, 60, who knows how much money this man has been sitting here cranking away on this. And then the thought comes to me, who knows if this guy's spending his whole paycheck to try to get this $14 million. And who knows if he was here last week or the week before and if he'll be here next week. And so I just got this picture of the depravity of man, of how we will spend everything that we've earned, everything that we think we have, to get some unattainable goal. So if somebody's going to hit it eventually, I mean, right? I mean, if we see all those things, and no, I didn't play, it wasn't your pastor, it's not going to be on the news, I'd be in... No, I'm just kidding. Somebody is eventually going to win it, and so the hope of that attaining that unobtainable goal is what keeps feeding, right? He has the desire for this thing that he thinks is really going to set him free. And so he's looking for power in something that looks just so grandiose, that looks like something that he doesn't really have a chance, but there's this little slim hope that he could get it. And then everything could be different. And all the meanwhile, what's available to him is the actual power, because the one who has the power, the one who is everything, knows everything, has created everything, is available to him through a prayer. And instead of cranking away on that button, if he would just get on his knees and ask the Lord. And so I left there last night thinking, man, how often do we, those of us who know, those of us who have seen, those of us who have experienced and been a part of that amazing power working, and we don't spend enough time on our knees? And so I'm sitting here looking at the depravity of this man just chasing after something that is unobtainable, and spending everything. I don't know. I can't make. I'm making an assumption just the way he was pulling on that thing, you know. I just making an assumption. But it's just this great picture. And here we are. We know we have, and we've even tasted and experienced the true power. And we don't spend that much fervency. We don't spend that much time. We don't spend that much. We don't have that much desire. It's just the truth. Listen, I'm not here to just, you know, pamper everybody's tushies and run out of here thinking that we're all wonderful and perfect. No, no, no. Part of the responsibility is when we come to God's Word is to be like, okay, God, there's some stuff that needs to change. But so today we're going to talk about prayer. About being on mission, here's the thing. Like Paul says, it's certainly not last, you know what I mean? Not at least, but it's at the last of 15, because here's where Paul says, here's the deal. Pray. Here's the end of the letter. So you know how you put something at the end of the letter because you want them to remember that? So he puts this at the end of the letter because the next chapter, there's going to be all kinds of people that he says, hey, give them greetings and pray for them and pray for them and pray for them. But he says, here's the deal. Pray. You need to be praying. You're God's people. You're supposed to be praying. And so the first thing he does is he makes a request. Now, I implore you. Prayer is requested. I got a few quotes that I'm going to use today. Here's one. Leonard Ravenhill. I got two from him today and one from Tozer. But here's one from Leonard Ravenhill. No man is greater than his prayer life. And I've read this before. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. And we have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, few prayers. Many singers, few cleaners. Lots of pastors, few wrestlers. Many fears, many tears, or few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, few intercessors. Many writers, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere. Speaking about prayer. And so Paul says, I implore you. Like he says, listen, I'm asking you. I'm making this request known to you. I'm reaching out to you. Now Paul's already done, like the Lord's used him. He's gone all over the place, and we know that he's planning on coming to Rome, but he's on this little short mission trip, and so he says, here's the thing, I need some prayers, and so I'm asking you to pray for me. You are God's people who have the same access to God the Father, seated on his throne, provided by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to get to. You have the same that Paul has, that I have. The pastor doesn't have any more access to God. Paul didn't have any more access to God. And so he says, listen, I'm asking you. I implore you. I'm asking you, please pray. But he says, this is how he wants them to pray. He wants them to pray together, but first of all, this is the first thing he says. Through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit. And so he says, here's the thing. Here's two instruments. Here's the two instruments. You ever build a house? Anybody ever build a house? You ever hear the term, my grandfather built this house with his? Two hands, okay? You ever heard bare hands? Well, tell him that ain't true. He used tools. Right? You ever try to throw a nail at a board? You're laughing, but you're not in the union. If you're in the union, you're like, oh yeah, we've done that. Try to get them sticking cardboard boxes and soda cans and in wood, and we get some work done. But if you were to throw a nail through a 2x4, well, you'd be in the Guinness Book of World Records because you just know it's just not possible, right? But if you want to put two pieces of wood together, you use a nail gun, or you use a screw gun, or you use something like that. You use some sort of instrument to accomplish the task, right? And so anybody who says, I built this house with my bare hands, you say, and instruments. In fact, your hands are actual instruments. It's the same thing here. He says, through Jesus Christ and through the love of the Holy Spirit. The two instruments we are to use in prayer. The two instruments, right? Don't think about your desire and all these types of things, because all of that has to come from Jesus Christ or through Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit. If he gives us two instruments, listen, when you pray, you got to acknowledge that you're only praying because Jesus has made it possible for you to pray. You might have heard the statement, there's no atheist in a foxhole, right? And so God hears every prayer and this, that, and the other. Here's the thing, check Scripture. God does not listen to the prayers of the wicked. There's one prayer of the wicked he listens to. God, forgive me. Go through the Scripture and find it. And so, God hears his people's prayers. Amen. We're going to get to that. So Paul says, here's the thing. through the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus shed his blood, because Jesus died on behalf of your sins in your place, he took your place on the cross. They buried him. They raised him. He went and he interceded on the cross and in heaven so that you could approach God. When the scripture says you can approach him boldly, it doesn't mean with your chest puffed up and be like, God, I'm going to demand this. No, it means that because of Jesus Christ, you can go to God the Father and say, here's my request. You see, it's only through Jesus Christ. If you try to access God apart from Jesus Christ, it's a no-go. No man can come to the Father except through Jesus. According to Jesus. And so there is no access to God, the one who would answer these prayers, except through Jesus. And so when he says, listen, I'm requesting, I'm asking, I'm imploring you to pray through the Lord Jesus Christ, it takes us to the picture of our salvation. Right? Everything that Jesus did, making it possible. And through the love of the Spirit. For the Spirit is what? What's the first one? Love. Through the love of the Spirit. Why in the world did Jesus die on the cross for you? For love. Because of love. And so the love of the Holy Spirit. Listen, don't you praise God that the Holy Spirit came and told you you needed to be saved? That you needed to repent of your sins? That you needed to be forgiven? That was because of love. That was because he didn't want you to face his wrath. And since the Holy Spirit, since God the Father, since Jesus Christ loves you, he's told you. And so when we come to God, we come through Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ, and we come through the love of the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't be coming looking for vengeance for somebody else. We should be coming with the love of Christ, with the love of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus loved you, you come to God the Father. And the way that Jesus loved you, that same love is how you come. Listen, he's asking them to pray for him. How do you pray for your brothers and sisters? God, I want you to get them. Yeah. I want you to straighten them out. You see, that's not a prayer that we should be praying. The prayer we should be praying is, Father, give me the eyes that you have. Lord, give me the heart that you have to love this brother who is sinning against me, or to love this sister who is sinning against me. You ever hear the statement, oh, you know, be nice because you don't know what they're dealing with? That's true, but we overplay that. Here's the simple truth. If God didn't overlook all of your sins, you wouldn't have been saved. And since he did that through Jesus Christ, we do the same. And so Paul says, listen, I want you to pray through Jesus Christ and through the love of the Holy Spirit. Don't you want to see your brothers and sisters succeed? Say yes, you're in church. And what is the only option for them to succeed? It's for Christ to work in them and through them. For the love of God to be in them and through them. And so this is what he says. This is how he says, these are the two instruments. These are the two instruments you need to pray. Now, here's the part for you. He requests, he implores that you would, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, agonize together. Agony. There's different, will say contend. Some say different things, but the word, we get the word, the Greek word is suna agonosimai. Don't try to write it down. I didn't spell it right on my paper. I wrote it so I could pronounce it. Okay? But it's where we get the word agony. So agony really is the best translation here. To agonize. And here's the picture. Excuse me. The picture is of an athlete's discipline to prevail. I'm not talking about your T-ballers, okay? Those guys are fun to watch, you know what I mean? This, that, and the other. But they're not agonizing, right? They're not really suffering to get, you know, they're not trying to hit a home run. They're not suffering to get that. They're not, this picture is the athletes who are running to win the race, like at the Olympic gold level. Like shooting for world records. What they put themselves through, the suffering they put themselves through to prevail, to get to that metal. That's the agony. That's how he asks us to agonize with him in prayer. That's the fervency. I don't know about you. Anybody run for a gold medal? No? Swimming? Anything? Do you imagine the work, right? Anybody state champion in a sport, right? Be part of a team? Yeah, see, one couple of us, right? That take a lot of work? Or are you just like, you just kind of show up, you know? You know, I didn't really care for practice on Wednesday. I didn't really care. I just kind of know you weren't part of that team then, because the team was set on winning. And so everything that it took to win, they were striving after. They were agonizing to win. And to be at that level, it takes great agony. This is what he's saying. This is how we are to be praying. You're like, whoa, okay. What would prayer meeting on Tuesday night look like if we were agonizing? If we first start, okay, Lord Jesus, I only get to be here because of you. And everything I pray, I need to pray through the love of the Holy Spirit. And I need to pray fervently. I need to pray to the point of agony for this to be answered, for this to be understood, for this to be experienced and realized. And he says, together, listen, we all do this. We do this together. We're commanded to pray together. And so, we have a Tuesday night prayer meeting this Tuesday. We're going to have the multi-church gathering where we fast all day, and then a bunch of churches are going to come together and pray. Why? Because we do this together. Listen, he says, I ask you to do this with me. Was Paul part of the Roman church? No. He's writing them a letter. He had never even met them. He's just heard about their faith. And so he says, here's the thing. You're Christian, and I hear about your faith, and I hear about the gospel, and I hear about what you're doing. So I know that I can ask you, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Holy Spirit, to agonize with me in prayer. Because that's who you are. They were together, but they were together. They were united by the Spirit. They were united by the blood of Jesus. And so he says, I want you to pray. I want you to agonize with me, even though we're not present together. Because one of the hopes, one of the requests is that they would be able to come together. And so he says, I want you to agonize. We pray together. Listen, we are the church. Not just us. Those who believe in the true doctrine of the Bible. Those who believe in Jesus Christ. Those who are the church. We're the only one in Cold Creek, but we're not the only one in town. We definitely ain't going to be the only ones in heaven. You see, we should be united by the Spirit to be praying together. Whose mission is it? Remember, we're on mission, but whose mission is it? You get to be a player on the team. Here's the truth. Sometimes prayer is a struggle. It's just, let's be honest. God just asks us to be honest. Well, he requires us to be honest, but sometimes prayer is a struggle. You ever, when somebody says, hey, would you pray for me? And you're like, okay, what is your prayer request? I got to pray right now because I'm going to forget. And that's a little bit of a cop-out, too, because we should. And I get, like, here's the thing. You might be getting so many prayer requests, you're like, I just can't even. But here's the truth. Do you agonize in the Spirit of God? Because you don't have to remember them all. Lord, you know that I'm supposed to be praying for something I don't even remember. Earlier in Romans, don't you remember him saying, the Spirit, right, groans within us, intercedes, prays when we don't know what to pray? The point is your heart ready to agonize with the other saints to come to God, to pray? It's a struggle. Let's just be honest. If I were to say, hey, you know what, who's praying for 4 hours a day? Right? Every single day. Without fail, even if you're sick, or even if, you know, the kids come up and the cat messed all over the carpet and this and that, and you're just like, all right, we don't care about none of that because I got to pray. Right? There's all kinds of things coming in your life. The enemy doesn't want you to pray because there's power in prayer. And so he's going to do everything to make every struggle and to make every reason and every excuse for you not to pray, for you not to read your Bible, for you not to come to church, for you not to gather together with other believers. He's going to do everything to keep you from this relationship, from this closeness.
It's what he's doing. But we pray together. And so he says, here's the thing. I'm asking you to pray with these instruments in agony with me. In agony with me. There was a lady who, when I first got to the church, we had prayer meetings over there. There was a lady who used to come. She wasn't part of our church. And she only came to prayer because she was driving by and she said, the Lord told me, she didn't even know we were church over there. She said, the Lord told me to come in here and pray with those people. And so she came every Tuesday faithfully. And she would just come and she would pray. And she would pray with us, and she said, I talked to my pastor, and I told him, this is what the Lord told me. And he said, you go pray with those people then. He, don't worry about coming here. You go. You do what the Lord said. And she would come, and she would come, and she would come until the Lord released her of that. And the thing she was praying, it was cool. It was cool. The Lord told her to come and pray with those people. And so she did. She came and she prayed with us. Until she went back to her people. Here we go. The request listed. This is what happens. He has three requests. It depends on your commentary that you're reading. If it's two or three. I see three requests here. And so he lists his requests. And here's the truth. Here's another quote from Ravenhill. Ravenhill just kind of like gives it to you, right? Most Christians pray to be blessed. Few pray to be broken. And so here's the request that Paul asked the Roman church to pray for him. Right here, three. We're gonna pick up on three of them. One, for safety. It's okay to pray for your safety, right? Now that doesn't mean that everything's going to be safe, but he prays for God's protection. He prays for safety, and he asks them to pray for safety from the unbelievers. You'll remember, as he's getting ready to leave, he was at church, and there's this prophecy that comes from two people. And two people come and say, hey, Paul, don't go. Listen, we're begging you not to go, because if you go, trouble's on the way. And Paul says, man, what are you breaking my heart for? God has told me to go. I have to go. Don't be breaking my heart. And so he knew, because what they had prophesied, and here's the deal. If you go, you're going to be arrested. If you go, there's suffering. And Paul just writes a letter, and he says, hey, here's the deal. Pray for my safety from the non-believers. Because everywhere Paul went, as he was proclaiming the gospel, people were trying to kill him. People were trying to stone him to death. People were trying to beat him. I mean, he was shipwrecked. I mean, right? Anybody ever been bitten by a snake? Like, ugh. Like, he just got, ugh. And God protected him. Because he was on mission. But guess what? He's asking the churches to pray for his safety. But you notice, his safety from non-believers. And so his request for the safety is just so he can continue preaching the gospel. And so he asked for safety. Pray for my safety. From the unbelievers, those trying to kill me. And then he prayed for this, for success. You have three S's. Safety, success, and sanity. But his success. He said, hey, pray for my success. Pray for that my service to the saints would be acceptable. Just because you're going in God doesn't mean you don't need prayer. You don't need to be asking. You don't need others to be asking, to be like, hey, pray that I do a good job. Pray that I'm obedient to the Lord. Man, we pray every week before we go to Love Walk. Why? Because guess what? It's a work God has called us to do, and God is empowering us to do. But anybody ever mess something up? Anybody ever read instructions and still mess it up? Got a couple bolts left over? Here's the same thing to do in your flesh. Just say, they send extra bolts with everything and just throw them away. Right? And when the desk falls apart on the kids, they're like, well, I guess they needed there was no extra bolts. So pray for success. God is calling you, but if you take it from there, you're going to mess it up somewhere. You might mess it up in its entirety. Okay, God, I got it from here. See you later. You're walking in your own strength. And that's a big no-no. Paul says, hey, pray for my success with the saints. He's not even saying my success with the unbelievers, but my success with the saints. Pray that, guess what? When I get there, and what he's been called to, because you remember, he's taking an offering. The other churches, they understood that they needed to support the church. And so they were sending an offering because they were doing really well, and so they were giving, and so they gave an offering. They gave above their tithes, and they said, here, Paul, take this back to the church that's having a hard time. And so Paul's asking, hey, pray for my success, that when I get there, that they won't sit in pride. He didn't say this, but this is, so they won't sit in pride, that they'll take the offering, and that they'll appreciate the offering, and that they'll thank God for the offering, and they'll understand and praise God that other believers who were not Jews are also being obedient to God. When he gets to Jerusalem, just read it, Acts. The cool thing about all these letters, you can go somewhere into Acts and find out where the other details of this story. And so he does. Because they were praying for his success, he had success. In fact, the church rejoiced and they took everything and they had a council and they had a meeting and they had a good old time. And they received the offering because of their prayers. But not because they were little popcorn prayers. There's nothing wrong with popcorn prayers. I don't know about you, but you know when you get to the Lemon Valley Interchange right there, if you ain't paying attention, there's probably 4 billion popcorn prayers on any evening of the week going on, and there's like this whole cloud because there's people like, oh, you slam it on the brakes, oh Lord take me, oh Lord stop me, oh right, all kinds of popcorn prayers. There's nothing wrong with popcorn prayers in the instant, right? That's all you can do. But this is. Listen, the importance of us being successful in what God has called us to do, people's salvation is on the line. Church growth is on the line. And so he says, agonize with me that I would be successful. Don't just throw a prayer up for me. I want you to agonize. I want you need to understand the gravity of what I'm doing, of what God's called me to, of what's taking place. And so success for his service. Listen, whatever God has called you to, don't do it in your own strength. Pray for success. Ask other believers to pray for your success. Because remember, going back to just a few minutes ago, you have the same access to the same God because you have the same Savior. Your prayers are just as powerful as everybody else. Don't think, well, I just need to pray elegantly. Don't worry about it. Just pray with your heart. God doesn't need eloquence. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, he's like, here's the deal. I came and I decided to know nothing except Christ crucified. No eloquent speech, no fancy words, no nothing. I didn't make this outline and make sure everybody could follow the outline. His beautiful PowerPoint. Paul says, I made this PowerPoint so that you would understand the power of the gospel. He says, no. The gospel is the power. And so I came knowing nothing. Right? Proclaiming nothing. You don't need a bunch of words. Remember, Jesus said, hey, don't be like them guys on the street corners just talking and talking and talking, thinking that they're going to be hurt for their many words. No. You just cry out to God with your heart. Agonize. Reach out. Strive for. Safety, success, and sanity. Sanity was an S. I had to put an S in there. But the truth is, when you're doing what God has called you to, it's stressful. It's hard, even if you are being devoted to prayer. Even if you have others praying for you, it is hard. And so he's not saying that they're insane and his sanity needs to be restored. No, he's saying, here's the thing, I need some fellowship. So I want you to pray that we would be able to come together, that we would be able to hang out, that we would be able to visit and be refreshed together. Sometimes you just need to be with your brothers and sisters, and you just need to just be refreshed. Because you feel like you're going insane, and you're like, man, I know that this is not what God has for me. Well, God, why am I feeling like this? This is not, I must not be doing what you, no. You're probably not gathering together and sharing. Right? Sharing what God is doing, sharing what God is calling you to, sharing the struggle, sharing all of these things. You're not coming together and being refreshed. And so he says, listen, this is what we need. It's the same thing that was taking place in Acts 4:23. You remember, they're getting persecuted.
Acts 4:23-31. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read parts of it. Because I want you to listen to this, how it's the same. And when they were released, they went to their own people. That means their own church. They went to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, the gathering heard it, they lifted their voices with one mind to God, and they said, Master, okay, and then we're leaving a part out, and by the Holy Spirit, and then they say, and now, Lord, concern yourself with their threats, or consider their threats, safety. Right? They go to God by the power of the Holy Spirit with their people, and they say, here's the deal, Lord, consider their threats. Like, hey, whatever happens, this is my safety, it's in your hands, it's there. Consider their threats. He's not saying, don't let them hurt me, don't let them throw rocks at me anymore, don't let them throw me in jail. He just says, or they just say together, just consider their threats. Whatever needs to be done with their threats, that'll be done. Because if you talk to a martyr, or somebody actually being persecuted and facing all these types of things, be like, hey, you know, I thought God wanted to protect you and everything and keep you from all harm and this, that, and the other. A martyr would laugh in your face. Many missionaries in different countries would laugh at the thought of that. And they would make a statement like this. No, 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 that's for all you comfortable people who stay over here in church. That's just the truth. It's harsh, but it's the truth. They're not begging God to make sure nothing bad happens to them. They just say, Lord, whatever our safety, whatever you're calling us to, whatever it is, it's in your hands. And so just here's the deal. We put it as your concern, not our own. Consider their threats. That's it. And then this. Success. Grant your slaves. Right? Grant your slaves to speak your message with all boldness. Give us the success, Lord. Give us the safety we need. Give us everything we need so that we can go and proclaim boldly your message. As you do the work, as you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders, and listen to this. And when they had prayed, back together, when they had prayed, the place where they were was shaken. Now that's prayer in agony, together, for God's purpose. It's the same picture over and over and over again. Listen, I know Aunt Sally's toe needs to be healed. I get all that. But when that's the majority of our prayers, and there's no real desire for it, there's just the, I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to pray for stuff, so Aunt Sally's toe, you know, it's like this big now, and it's just, you know, it's just Lord, would you just heal her toe, and just, I mean, you hear all the passion in that prayer. You hear all the pulling of the power from heaven down to earth in that prayer. But you heard a work. You heard somebody ask you, you said, okay, I'm going to fulfill my duty. No, I'm a Christian, so I'm going to pray, and this and that, and this and that. And so Aunt Sally's toe needs to be healed. That's not prayer. That's definitely not agony in prayer. How about this? Aunt Sally, if God were to heal your toe, would you walk across the street and deliver the gospel to your neighbor? Because if that's the result of your toe being healed, oh man, I can pray for that with some passion. Because I can change my prayer. I can even be like, Lord, heal Aunt Sandy's toe because she, or Sally, whatever I named her, heal Aunt Sally's toe that she can go and proclaim the gospel to the neighbor because you called her to do that. And Lord, even if you don't heal her toe, give her one of them boots so she can walk over there. Just consider the request, but make sure you empower the calling, the going, the mission. Now that's pulling power down from heaven for Aunt Sally's toe. Because there's got to be a purpose other than Aunt Sally's toe just being normal size or fitting in her shoe. And then Paul offers prayer. The God of peace be with all of you, right? This is the prayer he offers. You can call it a benediction. A benediction is a prayer, and there's a reason.
There's a reason he says it like this. He says, "Be God of peace, be with all of you." Because he's reminding them that God is the source. God is the source of peace. God is the source of power. It is God who you go to in prayer. And so when he says, "Be God," he's not trying to make it impersonal. He's just trying to put God where he actually is. Remember in Jesus, when they say, "Hey, Jesus, teach us how to pray." And he says, "Okay, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven." He's establishing God where he is and where he belongs. Hallowed be your name. So even when Jesus teaches them to pray, he says, here's the deal. When you pray, put God where he belongs. Start there. And so he says, the God of peace. You want peace? Come to God. Telger said this in his book, Born After Midnight. What can we do to satisfy the heart of our Father in heaven? Right? That's a good question. The answer is near thee, even in thy mouth. Vacate the throne room of your heart and enthrone Jesus there. Set him in the focus of your heart's attention and stop wanting to be a hero. Make him your all in all and try yourself to become less and less. Dedicate your entire life to his honor alone and shift the motives of your life from self to God. Let the reason back of your daily conduct be Christ and his glory, not yourself, nor your family, nor your country, nor your church. In all things, let him have the preeminence. I'll read that again if anybody needs it. Listen, God is the one on the throne. We have prayer requests. We have these different things. We want power. We want these things to happen. We want to see it. Listen, we have to go to God. And when we make statements like this, we don't need to pray more. It's a cop-out. We have to get serious about it. We have to actually get serious about it, not keep toying with it. Oh, yeah, I'm just going to pray more. I'm going to devote myself to pray more tomorrow. Or, you know, tonight, as soon as this is done. And it's a cop-out. I know it's a cop-out in my life. But I know that I need to pray more. But I can't just say that. I have to actually get serious about it. And actually do it. Because prayer is important. Four things about prayer being important. Why is prayer important? Number one, because it helps us grow closer to God. Listen, you grow closer to the Lord. You grow closer to God when you pray. You got a relationship with anybody that's completely silent? No? No, that's an acquaintance, or that's just that, you know, the guy or someone that you just go, that's not a relationship. You just go to the same store. A relationship takes conversation. Right? Takes words. So some of us aren't so good at conversing. We can talk all the time, but we can't converse so well. But here's the truth. It's important. Prayer is important because guess what? It helps you grow closer to God. You actually grow closer because here's the thing. You have to listen. You have to listen for his response. You have to listen for his answer. But you grow closer because you want to know. And as you ask and as you see things and as these things start to happen, you grow closer. Number two, why is prayer important? Because prayer opens the door to greater understanding. We have to acknowledge that God is the only one. He's the only power greater than ourselves. Any of you have all the answers? I know you think you do, but just let's be honest and humble for a second. Anybody have all the answers? What's the square root of 463? Yeah, so you didn't have that one, did you? See, we don't have all the answers, but we have access to the one who does. Right? We have access to the one who does, and so prayer is important because it actually opens the door. That's the venue. That's how we get to God, and that's how we ask him things, and that's how we gain this understanding. This is how we grow closer. If we would just recognize this fact, right? Recognize this fact, it would help us to set aside our emotions and seek the truth. Emotions aren't bad, but sometimes when you just pray with emotion, you're not looking for the truth. You're not willing to be open to the truth. It doesn't mean emotion's bad. Emotion just has to be in check. Because the truth is the truth. And sometimes your emotions aren't the truth.
You ever give somebody the fake smile? Right? Or that person who comes around and they're all super giddy and make you all super giddy, you're like, I'm not even like that. That's all emotion-based. They're an enjoyable person. And they come around, you're like, wow. And then they walk away, and you're like, you're back to grump. Emotions can help us to get to there because we can't just throw our emotions out the door. You can't say, oh, emotions don't matter, so I'm not really angry. Emotions don't matter, so I'm not really hurt. Emotions don't matter, so I'm not really happy. That doesn't make any sense. You'd be like, that is crazy. No. But when you come to Him for truth, your emotions will bring truth as long as you don't go through the emotion only. Seek truth. Praying allows us to confront areas of our life where we need help. Because when you pray to the one greater, right, there's some areas where you need some help. Amen. Here's the truth. We need to be praying more than we would be broken more. So that we can acknowledge that we need some help. If we're to be honest, we tend to bury some tough stuff, right? The stuff we don't want to deal with. Anybody just love confrontation? Just put your hand up and we'll just avoid you. But there's tough stuff. And it's really easy to avoid the tough stuff. But prayer is where God, hey, God, listen, this is what I want you to do. This is what how I see things. And God says, wait a second, we got this thing in your life we're going to talk about first. No, God, that's not just... Because that's not a real conversation. Because God wants to deal with the sin in your life. Right? He needs to draw attention to it so that it can be dealt with. And so that it can be taken back to the cross. Because Jesus died on the cross for it. And so for you to act like it doesn't exist when God's saying, no, it does exist. It does exist. Here's the truth. It does exist. I don't care if you think it does or if you don't think it does or you're angry about it or it doesn't matter to you. Here's the truth. We got to deal with this first. And so the tough stuff. God says, listen, we're going to deal with the tough stuff because He's the tough one. When we pray, we bring our circumstances before the only one who can truly help us. God knows everything, therefore there is no one more qualified in our time of need to provide a solution or to provide the power to provide. That's not wrong to go to your brother or sister, but don't go to your brother or sister first. They'll give you some good advice as best they can. Go to God first. He'll lead you to the brother or sister. One thing, I was leading a group study, and through the group study, it was a different kind of, it was like a recovery group study. And one of the questions it asks is basically, what's the difference between your earthly father and your heavenly father? It's a great question because a lot of times we see God through the eyes of our earthly father. And here's the thing, your earthly father is not your heavenly father. Okay? Well, even if you had a good father or a bad father, it doesn't matter. God the Father is perfect. And so the truth of answering this question, it was really easy. I had a good dad, right? That's not because he's sitting here. I would tell him that tomorrow. Probably. Anyway, I had a good dad. I had a good childhood, all that kind of stuff. I know that my dad cared for me. I know that my dad loved me. I know that my dad always tried to steer me in the right path. Right? Sometimes it didn't seem like it, but I understand now. And I know that my dad actually desired for my best. He wanted me to be the best that I could. He wanted me to have stuff he didn't have. He wanted me to not deal with struggles that he had to deal with. He wanted me. That was his job as a father. And he did a good job with that. But when you have to answer that question, here's the truth. My earthly father is very limited in his resources, in his experiences. And so the difference between my earthly father and my heavenly father is that my heavenly father is the one who has all the answers, who is perfect, who's created everything, who knows everything, who can lead me in the path that I need to go in. And so, yes, I can go to my earthly father for advice and trust that he's going to give me advice as best as he knows and cares and loves for me. But he doesn't know, care, or love for me the same as my heavenly father. Because he can't. He just can't. And so you go to the heavenly father first.
He'll lead you. In fact, he'll already be needing somebody to come and talk to you, to give you a word of encouragement, or to come and pray for you, just to come and ask, hey, I don't know why the Lord put you on my heart, but the Lord put you on my heart today. What's going on? How can I pray for you? Why is prayer important? Well, here's the thing. Look at Jesus. He prayed often. It was because even he in his earthly body needed to be connected daily with the Father to stay strong enough to accomplish what he needed to do on this earth. Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, yours be done. Not one time, not twice, but three times. Listen, Jesus came and fulfilled everything that God had called him to. And when he got to the fulfillment that we all needed most desperately, because of everything else that he had done, he got to the point of obedience, and that obedience being death on the cross, he needed the strength from his Father. He needed connection from his Father. He needed the love from his Father. And so he said, Lord, Father, if there's any way, and here's the thing, don't let my body, don't let my flesh, my request that was made in the suffering ahead, don't let that request overcome your will. No. Your will be done and overcome my struggle. Deliver me in my struggle so I can be obedient. Jesus was our example. You really think you can do it on your own? And you might say, hey, listen, I'm not going to a cross. No. You're dealing with all kinds of things that will lead to your death without God. All kinds of things. Why is prayer important? God hears his children. He hears us when we pray. Not only does he hear us, but from his infinite wisdom, he intercedes in our lives. Right? We may not always understand what's going on right away, but God is faithful to answer, to strengthen, to protect, to move, to empower. Right? God is the faithful one. And so we come to him because he says, I'll hear you. And you remember when Jesus shares the story and says, hey, who of you, if a neighbor comes to your house at 3 o'clock in the morning, you just start beating on the door and says, hey, I need this. Just go away tomorrow. He says, no. God's always ready. He's always at the door. Knock and what? He will answer. He'll hear you. Seek and you'll find. Pray and God will answer. He will respond. Listen, he desires to respond to you. He desires to hear from you. He wants you to pray. I mean, he wants you to have this relationship with him in such a way that he would give his only son so that you could pray. Prayer is important because God listens to us. He hears us when we pray. Man, there's this relationship in love like we're in 1 Peter. It was just last night, just the angels stooped down, right? The angels, like they examined. They're like, man, what makes you guys so special? That God would love you in this way. The angels want to know. They examine the whole thing. They're like, man, them guys, God, they don't deserve your love. They're not being judgy. They just don't understand. They can't understand because it's something we can't understand. How much God actually loves us. How much he wants to hear from you. Now, this isn't God like sitting back here begging like, he needs. No, he wants to. He doesn't need us. God will be glorified whether we do it or not. And he desires to have a relationship. In fact, you were created to have a relationship with him. That's what you were created for, to enjoy him. To worship God and enjoy him forever. And we start in prayer. So I'm going to give you a few moments to pray. We're going to have communion here in just a few minutes. But I want to take a couple of minutes to pray. Brendan, if you'll wait just about a minute and a half and go get the kids. About a minute and a half. Just because I see a green ticker. It's going to be 12:30 in a minute and a half. Now you have minute 28. Okay. I just want to just take the next minute and a half, unless you need 10, unless you need 20, unless you just need to agonize in prayer. And here's the thing. Take this time in prayer. And if you need to agonize in prayer, then you do that. If you need to come to the altar and do that, you do that. Don't be afraid. Come and do what God's calling you to, because if you are, I'm willing to put all that megabucks money that I don't have, but I would put it all that God's leading somebody else to come and agonize with you. And if you would just take the step of obedience, listen, we'll have communion whenever we get to communion. What's most important is that we get right with God. Because we shouldn't take communion if we're not right. Maybe some of you need to take some time right now. And we'll wait for you too. Take some time right now. Maybe you need to fix a relationship. Maybe you need to take care of something. Maybe you need to make a phone call. Go out in the hallway and make a phone call. But get a relationship. Get it restored. Get it taken care of. But man, take this time, would you? Just take this time and just seek the Lord in prayer. Father, we take this time to humble ourselves and bow down before you in your presence and in the presence of others, because, Lord, you call us to pray together. And, Lord, as we pray, I just pray that you would be giving us, Lord, your wisdom, Lord, the desires that we need, Lord, the truth of where we need to be changed. Father, that you would just help us to understand that we have access, that we have a relationship, that we get to talk to you, that, Lord, we get to ask you things, and that, Lord, that we get to do it expectantly. Lord, we get to expect that you're always going to be faithful because you've always been faithful. Lord, we get to expect that you have every single answer and that you would desire for us to know. But, Lord, also that we would be changed. But, Lord, we wouldn't come to you thinking we know best, but, Lord, you would just do your work in changing us and in humbling us as we come and we bow before you. Lord, we pray that as we pray for ourselves, that you would be showing us who we need to be interceding for. Lord, we know there are many who don't know that they can come to you. Maybe they don't know how to come to you. Lord, maybe they don't even know how to pray for what's going on in their life. And so, Lord, I pray and I ask that you would just give us those people, you would put those burdens on our hearts, that we would reach out to one another. And so, Father, we want you to be glorified. We want to be like you. Lord, we want to enjoy you. Lord, we want to rejoice together. And so, Father, just be moving in our hearts and drawing us and moving us and changing us. That we would get together and that we would rejoice. And we would be refreshing to one another. Help us to speak life, to share life, to give life to one another. But Lord, give it to us first. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, Brandon, we'll get the cheer rings. Will you guys play for communion? All right, and then can we have the deacons come forward. And the deacons come forward and I'll come down. Let's make sure that they get some supplies also. The kids are going to come in. And mom, dad, if you need to apologize to your kids, no matter how old or how young, would you just take this time to just grab your kid and make sure they understand that what's going on is we're getting ready to have communion. And we are getting ready to proclaim to one another and enjoy with one another the fact that Christ shed his blood for us and forgave us. And so that the things that they've done against us or to us or the things that we've done to them, that we would ask for forgiveness and that we would grant forgiveness to them and let them know that they've been forgiven and ask them to forgive you. Let's do this together. So as they come in, just grab your kid and just give them a big old hug. Your fault, Derek.
Let the scene of the desert when the whole world is still, living water is found in me, as you come up to the world. All you
Mike, did you get something up there? Okay. You ready? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He's going to voice our prayer for communion. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 We'll sing a song. We'll sing a song or the rest of that part in just a moment. The Deacon of the Week, hey, before we get, hang on, don't jump up yet. Hey. Deacon of the Week is Alan, Brother Alan here. So Brother Alan's going to close us in a word of prayer. So if you have a need this week, not re-roofing your house, okay? If you got a leak, you got a leak, all right? But if you have a need, call Alan this week. And if it's something he can and will take care of, he will definitely do it. If not, he will find some help. All right, so we'll help in the needs that we can help. But give him a call, Brother, please. No, you're gonna pray first. Thank you.
you.